We're now going to have our reading. We're going to go over that passage again and extend it slightly. So Tim Hubbard, one of our members, is going to come up and read that to us. And then I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking to the adults here on going a bit deeper in that passage.
So just to remind you, that is Matthew chapter 8, and it's on page 972 of the Church Bibles. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And then verse 14 onwards. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases."
Thanks very much, Tim. The Gospels were all written to show us Jesus, how amazing he is, so that we could trust him and walk with him. They're meant to be revolutionary documents that transform lives and communities. And yet many of us will have enjoyed the children learning about Jesus, but not yet been struck by any sort of personal relevance of Jesus for us as adults. That's the danger. And sometimes that's an understanding thing. These stories are so strange. Jesus is doing things that are so different to what I do in a world that's so different to modern technology. I can't really make sense of him. I can't see him as real in that sense. Sometimes it's a skepticism thing. If it were true, it'd be relevant, but I think it's a fairy tale. It's not relevant to me beyond whether it's an enjoyable story. And sometimes it's an over-familiarity thing. I've heard these stories so many times, and the teaching with it, that I believe these truths, but that story didn't grip me this morning. It doesn't seem like good news in the midst of my particular struggles and challenges. Whatever the cause is, my aim in the next few minutes, talking mainly to the adults here, is to help us to engage with Jesus as the most wonderful and important reality for every person here today. Now, the foundation for hearing this story as good news is admitting that we are unclean before God. If we see no connection at all between the uncleanness of the leper and our own condition, we're not going to feel this story as good news, because how Jesus treats the leper is just a sort of one-off over there thing. Maybe at best an example of how we, perfectly clean people, treat unclean people. But actually, I think I don't need to do much of a sort of heavy sales pitch to persuade you that you are unclean in this sense. I think, you know, we only need to be honest with ourselves. We are all aware of failure. We all have things we are ashamed of. We are all aware of a taint that comes because of what we've done and sometimes because of what others have done to us. We all experience that reality. Think of this board being your life again. It's not a very clean board at the moment, but if everything that you did was written on there, the things that you've done and said and thought, you wouldn't walk through this room with that board for everyone to see. I wouldn't let anyone see what was there. I would be deeply ashamed. There's much good in my life and in your life, but there's enough stuff that we would not want anyone to be aware of, enough stuff that we almost try and pretend it's not there because it's so painful to realize that that was us. That's what we got wrong. So my assumption is, when we're being honest with ourselves, we all know that we've got this uncleanness, this guilt, this set of things that we've done wrong, and that this shame drives our behavior. Maybe we avoid God because of this pain, because of this shame. Maybe we pretend to be better than we are with God and with people around us. Maybe we guard this uncleanness that we don't want anyone else to see by getting angry when people get near to seeing the real us. or by being highly critical of others to distract attention away from our own failures. Maybe we wrestle very, very obviously with self-loathing and self-doubt because of this shame and this failure. We may hide it from ourselves much of the time, but God sees it because he sees everything. God is the creator of all. God is the ruler of the universe. God will one day judge every person. And he sees your deepest shame, the thing you wouldn't want anyone else to see. He sees your most disgusting uncleanness. And if it's not dealt with, that uncleanness will shut you out from God's presence, now and forever. You can't cover up this fact. You can't wipe it out yourself. But the good news is, if you can admit that you're unclean, then Jesus is great news. He's the one who's come to deal with your uncleanness, to make you clean. So admit that you're unclean, and then secondly, see that Jesus has power to make you clean. This incident in Matthew's biography of Jesus is telling us not just that Jesus once upon a time did something for one particular leper, it is telling us he is the one who has power to put everybody right. Now, it may be that your issue this morning is skepticism about whether this is real. Is this historically reliable? Are miracles possible? And those are great questions. I'm not going to address them this morning, but if that's your question, do come to me afterwards. There are good books and resources out there to explore those questions, because they're important questions. This morning, though, I'm simply assuming this is true. What do we see about Jesus? We see immense power to cleanse. There's a man who comes to him with leprosy. His skin looks horrible. It's probably painful. There's a visible mess. Everyone can see that he's got this disease. And it's infectious, because that's the nature of diseases. If you touch this man, you became infected, actually probably physically infected, but also ritually unclean. We all know that in life, uncleanness spreads. If you have a clean chopping board and a dirty knife, and you put the knife on the clean chopping board, the chopping board is now contaminated. And that's how it works in that time, in people's minds. That's what the Bible had said in the Old Testament. Unclean people touch clean people, they get contaminated. But here is Jesus, and wholeness and health flow from him in such power that when he touches an unclean person, they are made clean. He is so pure and so full of life-giving purity that it's a different direction of flow to everyone else. Everyone else, the dirt contaminates them. Jesus wipes out the dirt. His cleanness, his purity, his life flows into the leper. And that is the picture for our souls. The power Jesus displays in healing the leper is the sort of power that means he can deal with our uncleanness, with those things that are on our conscience, our guilt and our shame. And the second bit of the passage that Tim read for us helps us to make that link. Jesus heals various people in verses 14 and 16, including Peter's mother-in-law. And then Matthew comments, "This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." It's from a very important passage in Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, in which it sets out that Jesus will take the consequences for his people's sin, and therefore they will be set free. Kids, could you be a little bit quieter? You're allowed to talk very quietly, but it's a little hard for some of the grown-ups to hear at this moment. So I think what's going on is, let's see if this diagram helps. Can we have the next slide? So we sin, and that has some consequences. It has two consequences, actually. It means that our relationship with God gets broken. That's what that's sort of trying to represent. And it means that we get sick. It's not that every sick person is a sort of worse sinner than every healthy person. Jesus explicitly says that. But the reason there is sickness in the world is because there is sin in the world. It's because we're cut off from the life-giving God. Okay, next slide. Matthew tells us Jesus bore our diseases. So he bore our diseases, he carries them, but more importantly, he is going to bear our sin and all the consequences of our sin on the cross so that we can be reconnected to God and be made totally right, body and soul. So there's sort of a link happening in which Jesus deals with sickness because ultimately he deals with the deeper problem that disconnects us from God, sin. So believe in the power of Jesus, see the power of Jesus, and then come rejoicing that Jesus is willing to make you clean. If we're unclean, if Jesus has power to make us clean, there are really only two questions. One, will we come to Jesus like the leper? And two, is Jesus going to actually use his power when we come to him? Or is he going to turn us away? So let's look at that second question first. Will Jesus, who has the power, be willing to cleanse us? Well, think about the leper. He was utterly unimportant, disgusting, probably smelt bad, looked bad. Nobody cared about him, really. He was outside of the town, outside of the society, and yet Jesus was willing to cleanse him. Jesus was willing to actually touch the man who had this gross skin condition. And maybe you look at your heart and you think, this place is filthy. It's such a mess. I keep making a mess of it again and again and again. Will Jesus really come and touch it and cleanse it? But look at the compassion of Jesus. He is willing to come and make you clean. He continues to be willing to come and make you clean, even if you've messed up for the millionth time. And so then the question we finish with is, are you willing to come to Jesus like the leper and ask for cleansing? Do we see the dirt on our hearts? Do we recognize Jesus has power? And then do we come and say, please make me right with you? Jesus is God. He's the king of the universe. The man doesn't say, I have rights. He doesn't say, I'm an Israelite. I have rights with my God. He comes humbly and says, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. He relies on Jesus' compassion and power, not on his rights. And that's how we're meant to come. Humbly to God saying, I don't have any rights. I'm in the wrong, but you're good and you're powerful. Please forgive me. And it might be that you've been doing that as a Christian for ages, but it's almost become something that no longer is real. And you've got bits of dirt that you think, sort of deep down, you don't really think Jesus deals with or notices. And if that's you, no, he sees it, but he really cleanses it. Come to him with that dirt that you're ashamed of. It may be you've never done this before. You've never talked to Jesus and admitted you're wrong and said, please make me clean. And you can do that today. You don't need to do a long course. You can just talk to Jesus in prayer. He hears whatever you say in your heart or whatever you say out loud. Come to Jesus confident. Rejoice that this almighty King loves you and is more than willing to forgive whenever we confess our sins. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Let's just have a quiet moment or two to reflect on our own uncleanness and Jesus' grace to us. I'll pray and then we'll sing a final song. Lord Jesus, we confess before you that we are unclean, that even this week, we've done things of which we are ashamed, things which would stop us entering your presence. But we're confident because you have the power to overcome sin and you have the compassion that means you welcome us. Thank you for this story of how you treated this outcast, this leper, which displays for us your power and your love. And so we come to you, Lord Jesus. We come to you confident, not in ourselves, but in you. And we come and say, please make us right and please help us to walk following you in your ways. Amen.